and praise God, for whom all praises belong. God is worthy. There is none like him. We give thanks to the great King, the resurrected King, who is resurrecting you and me. We praise God on this day for the great privilege to share in the gospel the good news of Jesus Christ, to talk about the wonders of his majesty and his great love for us, and to be reminded that we are not forgotten. As we prepare to go into the Word of God today, we continue our time in the book of Deuteronomy. We have been looking at this book from the perspective of what God did for his people as he delivered them, and understanding that his message rings true for you and me today. There are some critical things that we can learn, some critical things that we must learn and put into practice if we are going to experience the great blessing of God's life, or the life that God wants us to enjoy. We spent the last couple of weeks in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We've looked at what I think is a critical passage of Scripture, because it is there that we establish what we call the most important priority of our lives. And that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And so we said that we need to make our number one priority loving God. And then we followed up again from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we just talked about remembering what the Lord has done. Remembering what God has done. And we said that one of the best ways that you and I can remember what God has done is by continually practicing to give thanks, remembering that he did it, and to give thanks to him. That this attitude of gratitude helps us to avoid spiritual amnesia and to remember that God is indeed the one who has delivered us. I want to progress into the book and go to chapter 8 on today. We'll go to chapter 8. Yes, there was much more in chapter 6. There's much in chapter 7. We will pick that up on during our Wednesday Bible talk. But on today, I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I want to look at verses 11 through 20. Verses 11 through 20. I want to be thinking about the idea of remaining humble at heart. Remaining humble at heart. Make loving God your number one priority. Remember what he has done, and then remain humble at heart. Let me read for you verses 11 through 20 in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says, "Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commands, ordinances, and statutes that I am giving you today. When you eat and are full, and build beautiful houses to live in, and your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold multiply, and everything else you have increases. Be careful that your heart doesn't become proud, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with his poisonous snakes and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water. He brought water out of the flint rock for you. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers had not known, in order to humble you and test you, so that in the end, he might cause you to prosper. You may say to yourself, my power and my own ability have gained this wealth for me. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm his covenant he swore to your fathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods to serve them and bow down in worship to them, I testify against you today that you will perish. Like the nations the Lord is about to destroy before you, you will perish if you do not obey the Lord your God. Again, remain humble at heart. Remain humble at heart. That set of scriptures that we just read, I think, summarized for us, again, one of the important things that Moses is communicating to this group of people who are about to enter into the promised land. That is the land promised to their forefathers by God. They are the generation that is about to receive what God promised. Other members of this generation have died off because of their unwillingness to trust God. He was gracious. And he allowed them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, where he cared for them, protected them, and kept them. But yet they did not receive his ultimate blessing for them. Moses is warning the people, when God delivers, don't you forget that it was by his hand. When God delivers, don't you take credit for what he did. When God delivers, you make sure that you give him all the credit that is due his holy and righteous name. I love the posture or the position that Moses is taking with the people as he speaks to them. Moses is speaking from an attitude or a position of faith in the promises of God. Look at the language he uses. He talks about when, not if. That's an attitude of faith. Moses is not going to go into the promised land with them because God has already declared that Moses cannot enter the promised land. But I love that that does not prevent Moses from preparing God's people for what is about to take place. Moses does not cop an attitude with God, but he finishes strong. He completes the task that has been assigned to his hand to make sure that the generation that follows is thoroughly equipped, and he positions them with faith. It is the idea that what God has said, God will do. And it's not an if clause. It is a when he does it. It is the statement of it is coming to pass. Brothers and sisters, those of us who are a little bit older, those of us who are a little bit more mature, those of us who have walked a little bit longer with God, we need to learn how to communicate it the same way when we're talking to others and trying to encourage them and spur them on toward good works. We need to speak with faith. Because you and I both know that we have experienced grace from God that we did not deserve. We have experienced favor from God that we did not earn. We have received from God good things from his hand that had nothing to do with our skill or our excellence nor our perfection, but it had everything to do with the fact that God made a promise, and what God promises, he always sees it through. I love it that every word spoken by God is perfect. It is flawless. It is without error. When God speaks, he does not stutter. He does not make mistakes, and he never needs to take back what he said. He always has what he needs to back up what he declares so that the one who places hope in him will not be put to shame. Brothers and sisters, you and I who have experienced his goodness, we ought to talk like we know that God is a promise keeper. We ought to talk like we know that God is able to do above and beyond all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. We ought to talk like we know that God can make something out of nothing. We ought to talk like people who walk by faith and not by sight. Stop repeating or declaring what we see, but start repeating and declaring what God has said. Whose report will you believe? Well, I'm like Moses. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. And God had promised that he was going to deliver his people into the land that he had sworn to give them. And there was nothing that could stop him. There was no wall that was too high or too thick. There were no people in the area that could prevent him from doing what he wanted to do. All it required was his people to respond in faith to what he wanted to do. And brothers and sisters, the same holds true for you and me. When God has spoken into your life, when God has declared a truth over your life, when God has spoken a promise to you, there is nothing that can prevent that truth from being fulfilled. There is nothing that can stop that promise from coming to pass, because God is able to do. He is able to make a way out of no way. He is able to call into being those things that are not as though they were. You and I need to walk in that kind of faith. And in order to do that, you know what? We have to maintain a humble heart before the Lord. We have to be humble before him to understand that it was not by our might, not by our power, but yes, it was by his Spirit that doors were open, and that way, a way was made for you and me. Moses, in verse number 11, says to the people, "Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commands, ordinances, and statutes that I am giving you today." Brothers and sisters, I submit to you once again that one of the ways you show your fear of the Lord, one of the ways that you show that you are remembering God and all of his word, is simply by obeying what he has commanded you and me to do. If you want to talk about having a successful life, verse number 6 of chapter 8 gives us the key. It is what Moses began to say and declare to the people. Beginning in chapter 4, he repeated it in chapter 5. He said it again in chapter 6, again in chapter 7, again here in chapter 8, verse number 6. He says, "Keep the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For it is God's desire that you be blessed." He wants to bring you into this good land. He's saying that if you will do that, then God will be sure and fulfill his part of the bargain. I always like to talk about this because, again, we're talking about God and the covenant that he established with the children of Israel, with the nation of Israel, that when he had delivered them out of slavery, he brought them to Mount Sinai and spoke to them and established a covenant with them. We think about that being the Ten Commandments that God had issued, But they were the terms of the covenant to help his people understand how to relate to him and how to relate to one another. And you and I, again, are not under the old covenant, but we are under the new covenant. We are under the covenant of grace, the covenant that was established by the finished work of Jesus Christ, the covenant that was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, the covenant that cannot and will not be weakened by what you and I do, because it is all sold up, is wrapped up in the finished and completed work of Jesus Christ. And that covenant too has great benefits for you and me, that we can look back at what God was promising to do for his people when he took them into the promised land, how he wanted to bless them. We can look at the new covenant and see that, oh, it is not a lesser covenant that God has established with you and me, but it's a greater covenant. It's a better covenant that he established with us. For he said, with you and me, anyone who enters into this covenant will be a new creation. Yeah. Don't you remember? Everyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come. That is where you must exercise your faith. It is not if, it is when. When you enter into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, the old has passed away. You are a new creation. That means the stuff that once had you bound down, it no longer has power over you, because there is a newness in you. So this is the new covenant that we find in Jesus Christ. He says that we have everything that we need to live a life, a godly life, everything that we need. He has given us divine purpose, everything that we need to overcome the power of flesh, to overcome sin. Everything that we need has been given to us in Jesus Christ. The dead man, the dead woman has been made alive. You've been given purpose. You understand that you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You understand that it is no longer by your power, but he deposits his spirit inside of you, so that now you have the same spirit operating in you that was at work in the beginning of creation, that was at work when Jesus walked among men. That same power that raised him from the dead is at work in you. I'm telling you, it is a better covenant, a much better covenant. As good as the old covenant was, the new covenant in Christ is much better. For there is no flaw found in the new covenant in Christ. So I tell you again, love God with all your heart as your first priority. Remember what he has done for you by giving thanks regularly. And then remain humble at heart before your God. Remain humble at heart before your God. Make sure that your heart before him is pure. Why? Because he has washed it clean. That's what happens with the new covenant. He takes your heart and he washes it clean. He prepares you so that you are able to receive. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 helps us understand this. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. This is what happened with the new covenant. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. This is what he does in the new covenant. He comes and he does a work on your heart. He does a work on my heart so that we are responsive to him and to his spirit. And he says to you and me, after he has done the work on our hearts, we must be careful to remain humble at heart before him. That we must guard our hearts with all diligence, that we must protect our hearts with all diligence, that we must keep before him a heart that is not proud, but one that is filled with gratitude and thankfulness for the good work that he has done in us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He says, if you will remain humble at heart, then he'll give you what you need in order to carefully obey all of his commands and to follow all of his ordinances so that it will go well with you. I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, there were so many good things coming out of this text that I was finding it difficult to know which things to highlight and to know which things to emphasize. And you know, part of the great challenges is you've got to take some of this and you've got to boil it down. You can't tell it all in one setting. As bad as I wanted to, I wanted to talk about how, you know, God's way is better than your way. I love Nana Rose. Is one of her favorite scriptures, Proverbs chapter 3. And she's not alone. Minister Diane loves the scripture too. Proverbs chapter 3, where it talks about you and I not walking in our own wisdom. Where it talks about us taking God's thoughts and God's opinions and elevating them to the place where they need to be. Talking about how he would then direct our paths because his way is better than our way. And part of the essential truth of this text is that, listen, when you remain humble at heart, you say to God that it's okay for you to correct me. It's okay for you to give me instructions. It's okay for you to lay out the rules. It's okay for you to describe how things shall be. It's okay for you to tell me what is and what is not. And I won't argue with you. Instead, I will accept your truth and I will walk in your truth and I will proclaim your truth and I will hold everything else against your standard of truth. And if it does not measure what you have said it to be, I won't have anything to do with it. And I won't try to rewrite your word. I won't try to redefine things that you have already defined. Because I will humble myself before you and know that your way is better than my way. To know that it is because of you that I've made it through. Listen real quickly to just a few things that Moses talks about with the promises of God. In verse 12, he says, when you eat and are full. Note, he says again, when. And build beautiful houses to live in. You got food and you've got shelter. Your herds and your flocks grow large. You are being productive in your designated workplace. Your silver and gold multiplies. You don't have holes in your pocket, but you are able to meet not only your needs, but you are able to sow into the lives of others. And use the wealth that he has given you to be a blessing to others. And everything else you have increases. That's the when. He says, these are the things that's going to happen. You're going to have plenty of food to eat. You're going to be full. You're going to have shelter. You're going to have a productive lifestyle that you're going to prosper both financially, and you're going to grow in everything else that you do. He says, when these things happen, be careful that your heart doesn't become proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. It means that God is taking you from one place to another place. We've already said with regard to our spiritual lives, he has taken me out of darkness and brought me into the light. He's taken me out of the dominion of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of his son. He's brought me out of the place that produces despair, and he's brought me into the place that produces joy. Note that I keep saying, he brought me out. He brought me out. He brought me out. Why? Because I didn't do it. He did it. And when I can remember that he did it, I never take responsibility for doing it myself or keeping myself there. All I do is hang on to the one who delivered me, the one who redeemed me, and know that in him I have life. In him I have my being. And so I stay connected with him. Matthew chapter 6 verses 25 through 33 remind you and me that if we just seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, that all of those other things that the pagans chase after. Pagans are people who are not in a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. If you are in a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, you are called a Christ follower, a Christian, a believer, a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are not a pagan because you know the one in which you believe. He said the pagans, the people of this world, they chase after all these other things. They work hard, toiling for all these things that he has already promised you and me. And he says to you and me, if you just seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, that he will then add to you all these other things that you need. We'll give you what you need to eat. Give you what you need to wear. Give you shelter. Give you all of these things. Your job, my job, seek first the kingdom, and he'll provide. Another way of thinking about that is he'll take care of you. That means that you no longer have to worry. Remember, we're operating from a position of faith. That means that if I'm hungry and I don't know where the next meal comes from, I don't say if I ever eat again. No, no, no. I say when the meal shows up, I'll praise him. And until then, I'm going to praise him because I'm going to maintain a posture of faith. I'm going to maintain a position of faith because he has already declared it to be. And I am simply standing on what he has said. I may not know how, and I may not know when, but I know he's going to do it. I know he'll come through. And until it manifests, until it shows up, I am going to simply keep trusting him and looking to him. Brothers and sisters, he says, be careful that your heart doesn't become proud. Now, the reason I focused and went in on remain humble at heart, because, you know, a prideful heart is something that God hates. When you read throughout the scriptures, you will discover that God talks often about pride. fact, he says, pride goes before the fall. He encourages you and me to remain humble before him. That means that we are to stay low before him. That means that we are to see him from the right perspective and to see ourselves from the right perspective. Walking in humility does not mean that I think less of myself than what I am. It means that I see myself rightly. It means that I see myself created in the image of God. It means that I see myself with the realization that there is no success in my life that God does not allow. It means that I acknowledge that every good and perfect gift that I have received comes from the Lord. Remaining humble before him means that I don't elevate myself above others based upon what I have, based upon my status, based upon my position, based upon my calling in life. It means that I understand that other men and women also have been created in the image of God, and I treat them with respect. Not based upon the size of their pocketbooks, not based upon the size of their bank accounts, but based upon the fact that they have been created in the image of God. Walking humbly before him, it is the understanding that just as easy as I received all of these blessings, that they can also be wiped away. It is the realization that God gave it and God can take it away. But yet, even in that, as Job would say, blessed be the name of the Lord. To walk humbly before God is to maintain a position before him that acknowledges that it is by his sovereign hand that we live and breathe and have our being. So we walk humbly before him. And what that does is that ensures, that guarantees that he will be with us. But God talks about if you humble yourself before him, he'll do the exalting. It's a realization that humility comes before honor. And when God lifts you up, who can tear you down? It is to remember that whatever gifts that I have, whatever abilities that I have, they came from God. And when those gifts and abilities open up doors for me, that I am not to take credit for the door that has been opened. I am simply to represent him and to give glory and honor to him. One of the greatest illustrations of how this works is in the book of Daniel. You're familiar with the story. It's the story that is told about King Nebuchadnezzar, whom God had raised to power, and whom God had caused to be the king over not just his region, but he had captured other nations and he ruled, if you will, the world. And even though we don't see anywhere in the text where Nebuchadnezzar was necessarily a follower of God, we do see that God chose to use him. And it is the truth that it is God who gives the ability to increase wealth. It is God who raises men and women to power. And if it is God who raises them to power, it is also God who can bring them back down. In the book of Daniel, the story is told about Nebuchadnezzar when he began to boast about what God had given him, about the position and place that God had given him. He began to boast about what his hands had done. He began to boast about what he had built up for himself. He began to talk about his great kingdom. And he had been warned that if he only changed the way he thought, if he only humbled himself in his heart before God, that maybe God would relent and would not bring on him the thing that he had foretold. But one day, Nebuchadnezzar rose from his sleep, and instead of rising and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for another day," instead of rising and saying that this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Instead of him rising and saying, "God, I thank you that you have given me a reasonable portion of health and strength. I thank you that I can move and I can think. And I thank you, oh God, that I have this capacity and I've come to serve you today." Instead of him thanking God for the day that he had been given, it says that he walked out on his balcony. And instead of him giving God thanks for what his eyes could see, because you know, if God had not opened his eyes to see, he would not have been able to see. Instead of him thanking God for being able to see, it says that he looked out over what he had been given rulership over. And in his mouth, he began to boast. He began to say, "Look at this great kingdom that I have built for myself." No, that's not a heart that remains humble before God. That even if you have a great kingdom, remember, you don't give yourself life. You don't give yourself breath. You don't cause the oxygen to be such that you can breathe. You don't give yourself clean air to breathe. You need to acknowledge that every breath that you breathe is a blessing from the Lord. You need to acknowledge that when the blood is circulating through your body, it's a blessing from the Lord. You need to acknowledge that all that you have, your capacity to think straight, is a blessing from the Lord. That your mind has been regulated is a blessing from the Lord. You need to be able to acknowledge that all that you have comes from him. No, Nebuchadnezzar said, "This great kingdom that I have built." And before the words could leave his mouth, God spoke from heaven and declared that the very thing that had been told about you is about to take place. He says, "You will be driven away from people to live with the wild animals, and you will feed on grass like cattle for 7 periods of time until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms, and he gives them to anyone he wants." And so as it was, he became like a madman, a wild man, because he did not maintain humility before God. In the words of Nebuchadnezzar, here's what he said: "At the end of the days when I was eating like an animal, at the end of the days when my hair had grew like an eagle's feathers and my nails like a bird's claws," he said, "I looked up to heaven and my sanity was returned to me. And then I praised the Most High, and I honored and glorified him who lives forever and ever." He said, "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. And he does what he wants with the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there is no one who can block his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" He says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and glorify the King of heaven, because all his works are true and his ways are just. He is able to humble those who walk in pride." Brothers and sisters, let me restate, and I've got to stop. Let me restate, as your number one priority, Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your strength. Make loving him your number one priority. Remember what he has done by regularly giving thanks for what he has done so that you don't forget his power that is at work on your behalf. Then this third thing that we talked about was remain humble at heart. Maintain an humble heart before God by acknowledging that it is by his hand that every blessing that you have comes from him. That all that you have received comes from him. That if you and I remain humble at heart, what God says is that he will continue to be a blessing to you, to me, and to the nation that puts their trust in him. Praise team started us off today talking about raise a hallelujah. And then they ended saying, I'm going to see a victory. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that you can see victory when your heart remains humble before God. Then no matter what weapon has been forged against you, it will not be victorious because the one who redeemed you is on your side. He has come to fight for you that you might have life. They said the resurrected king is resurrecting me. That no matter what situation you find yourself in, you need to remember that the one who conquered death, hell, in the grave, he is on your side. That he comes that you might have life and to make you a conqueror. He came that you might defeat the enemy who continues to press up against you and keep you from receiving God's blessing. But here's the key. You've got to remember that God's way is better than your way. That the way you defeat the enemy is by walking in God's way, by carefully following his way, by following his instruction, by walking in obedience to his commands. When you do what God says, he comes and he fights on your behalf. When you do what God says, that's why no weapon formed against you will be successful, is because you're walking in obedience to what he has said, and he watches over his word to perform it. Yes, remaining humble at heart ensures a victory for you, because what you're doing is saying, I will walk in God's way and not in my own way. I will allow him to discipline me and instruct me. I will allow him to grow me up and mature me. I will allow him to move me from being a baby to being a mature believer who practices his word. I will allow him to release me to be a teacher of others, because I am following his way. And when I do that, I can be assured, you can be assured, that the blessing of the Lord will rest upon you, and that his favor will run before you, and that his love and his mercy will escort you all the days of your life. You won't worry about trouble overtaking you. Oh, I think I'm talking to somebody right now, because you know, we have trouble come our way, and then we think it is because of some wrong that we have done. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if it is because sin has entered in your life, repent and turn back to God. But you need to remember that he said trouble won't last always. And when the devil comes trying to interrupt what God is doing in your life. When the devil comes trying to steal your blessing, it doesn't matter if he's trying to steal your health, or it doesn't matter if he's trying to steal your wealth. You need to remember that that's his job, is to steal, kill, and destroy. Your job is to walk in faith and to tell him, no, not today. And to stand firm in the one who promises to give you life. And to use his word, to use God's word to defeat the enemy in his attacks against you. Because God has told you and me, he has tested us and he has humbled us in our hearts so that we learn that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. That the word of God is powerful and it is active. And it is alive. And it brings life to you and me. And when we speak his word, when we use his word, when we hide his word in our heart, his word then helps us to maintain an humble heart before him. Because Jeremiah 17 says that you and I can't rightly judge our hearts. He says our hearts are deceitful above all things. That you and I don't know. He says, but thanks be to him. God knows the heart. And he then can look at our hearts. He can discern what needs to be there and what does not need to be there. And by his word, he can cleanse our hearts and make them hearts that are useful for the kingdom. Make them hearts that are life-producing hearts. And out of them springs forth life. So you maintain an humble heart before God, that he may continue to raise you up and continue to fulfill in your life the blessing and benefit of being in a covenant relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Praise God and amen. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died for us, taking on the sin of the whole world, and that his finished work was enough to satisfy you. So that when you look at us, you see us through the blood of Jesus Christ, made clean, purified with a robe of righteousness into your family. Heirs of the kingdom, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, ready to receive everything that you have apportioned to us. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love that you lavished on us. Thank you for your kindness to us. In his matchless and just name, amen.